Hey, you're listening to episode 6 of the Intentional Mind Podcast, and I'm your host, Angela Barnard. This is a show all about helping you intentionally design your life using the power of your mind, faith, and energy. And on this episode, we're talking about the vehicle that God gave you for you to go out and do your work in the world. And that, I'm talking about your health, your body. Like, how can you take better care of that vehicle? Because you know that you're gonna need it to get to where you wanna go to, right? So if you're like me, you've probably asked the question, how can I reduce stress in my life? Because I know that it negatively affects how I show up in the world. Or maybe someone has said, you need to balance your hormones, or you've kind of been like, yeah, I know my hormones play a big role in how I feel and whatnot and what's happening in my body, but like, what does that even mean? If that is you, this episode is for you because we have a very special guest on the show. Her name is Deanna Tikhanoff. She is a women's health nurse practitioner, and she's been practicing in OBGYN for over 5 years now. She lives in New Jersey. And while she's been a clinician, she's noticed a gap in what women are taught about their bodies. So she decided to create the Ladies Guide, which is a cross-media platform where she gets on and she teaches women how to just really manage their health better from a holistic approach. So she talks about everything from flowing with your menstrual cycle to your hormones to fertility to just feeling better in your body and really recognizing some symptoms that might not be serving you. And like, how do you reduce those negative symptoms without always thinking that you need to take some medication or take a band-aid approach? Like, let's look at your body as a whole. That's what she's about. And that's why I wanted to bring her on the show for you, because she is someone who represents living an intentional life. And she's also a fellow traveler and yoga teacher. I learned so much from this podcast episode, and I started implementing new things right away. Can't wait to tell you what those are, but I'll tell you them at the end of the show. So for now, let's get on with the show. Deanna, thanks so much for being here. So I've already told everybody a little bit about you, but I would love it if you would tell them more about you from your own words.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am, like you said, I'm a women's health nurse practitioner. For anyone not too familiar with what a nurse practitioner is, you know, I can see my own patients, diagnose, treat, manage care. Basically, the only difference is I do not do surgery and I do not deliver babies. So I went to school for nursing. And when I was in my nursing clinical and I had my labor and delivery round, I would have to wake up, I think, like before 5 a.m. and get to the hospital to start the shift. And when I saw my first birth, I was in tears. And I thought, oh my God, I don't even know this person. And I just got so emotional and felt like this is what I need to be doing. I need to be working with women. Like, this is so cool. And that kind of was like the spark of like, all right, I know my path is going to be in women's health. At that time, I had no clue like where I would be now. If you told me, you know, what I'd be doing now, probably wouldn't have thought that at all. But that's kind of like the first seed of women's health that like kind of began that all.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have gotten led down paths we never thought we would be on, but clearly you're supposed to be on this path of helping women. And it's so magical what a woman's body can do, especially how it's witnessed through birth. So what made you really interested in taking more of that holistic approach to women's health?
Yeah. So, you know, I went through nursing and got my master's as a nurse practitioner. And although nursing definitely has holistic components to it for sure, versus like the medical model, it is still very heavily influenced by like the Western medical model. Like, there's still definitely aspects of that within the nursing programs, I would say, in the US. So, you know, I got little bits of the holistic approach as far as really looking at the whole person, but there is still a lot of influence in my professional training on medication and the diagnosis. And I just kind of knew as I started my own health journey, kind of going through issues that I have had throughout my life and seeing that after specialists and specialists, like nothing was really getting better, that kind of started the shift of like, all right, wait, I need to do better for my patients when I'm seeing what is working for me. So, you know, just to give you some background, I have been suffering from migraines, severely painful periods, back pain, and cystic acne pretty much since I was a kid. And I had been to every specialist for these things, given all the prescription medications, was given like steroid injections for my back. I even like was so desperate after trying everything for my skin. I did Accutane, which is like a really heavy duty medication for anyone who's familiar with that.
Oh yeah, girl, I am so familiar with that. I've had my time on Accutane and it has some really horrible side effects, like a lot of many other medications do. But yet we feel so desperate, we don't know what to do. That, and also because I think a lot of us aren't receiving the kind of healthcare where someone is really taking that holistic approach with us, just by the nature of how healthcare has been lately and the time and all of those kinds of things, right? We could go on.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like it was such, you know, I know what it feels like to feel so desperate of like, why isn't anything that anyone is giving me working? And, you know, feeling like you're running out of solutions because everything kind of results in a prescription to a medication. So I did the Accutane work for a little bit. And I would say like a year later, my cystic acne started flaring up again. And I would suffer from migraines that I was on anti-seizure medication for. And like, yeah, it helped for a period of time, but wasn't fully addressing the underlying issues. Like you said, like these are all Band-Aid solutions. I had very few people actually say to me, you know, things like, what are you eating? How is your stress level? What do you do on a day-to-day basis? And these are all things that matter so much with our health that like it's getting better. I think it is getting better that the holistic health space is kind of expanding and things like social media does help to kind of spread that knowledge a little bit faster. But it's just, I just knew that I needed to bring this to my patients and I needed to make a shift of what I was kind of talking about with them and how to address their health in a different way that really got to the underlying source of why they were experiencing what they were experiencing. So that kind of led me into, you know, the holistic space for women's health and learning more about balancing your hormones and teaching women how to do that for themselves so that they don't feel a slave to things like birth control. Because, you know, it's like, yes, birth control absolutely has its place if you need it for birth control, but I find that it's overused when it's prescribed because you have irregular cycles. Oh, here's birth control. It's not necessarily the best approach. So, you know, that's something that I'm also really passionate about.
That makes sense. So it's like you're passionate about helping someone on an individual level and thinking about what is best for their body versus taking that kind of quick, here's a Band-Aid for you and a Band-Aid for you and a Band-Aid for you kind of approach. And I really love that about you. I'm really curious about hormones in general. Like when people say that you should balance your hormones, I don't really know what's involved in that. I know a lot of us get really confused. So from a perspective of I'm a woman, what do I need to know about my hormones in a nutshell?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the first things that when I'm working with women, I explain is that there's kind of a hierarchy of hormones within our bodies. And at the top of the hierarchy are our cortisol and our insulin. Cortisol is responsible, our stress hormone, it's firing off, especially now this year, right? Like all the different changes in stress, everybody has cortisol kind of flowing through us kind of at all periods of time. And this is creating inflammation in the body. Then we have insulin, which, you know, a lot of times insulin is really only focused on with people who have diabetes or concern with that. But really, all of us should be very mindful of our insulin and how that, if it's working properly or not, because that actually impacts tremendously how the rest of our hormones are going to work. So if our cortisol and our insulin are out of whack, which they commonly are because one, stress, so you have cortisol firing off too much. And then you have with insulin, if we're not eating in a way that is stabilizing our blood sugar, insulin also gets out of whack. And so then if you have these two hormones out of whack, it affects how the rest of our hormones are going to work. So that's your thyroid functioning, your estrogen, your progesterone, your testosterone. And many times, instead of focusing on the top tier hormones, if we can address the top, all the rest will start to flow in a much more balanced state. But a lot of times the focus is, oh, your estrogen's off, your progesterone's off, let's give you birth control. That's kind of where the idea of like, oh, birth control will help stabilize these hormones. But it's really a band-aid solution and not really getting to address the underlying issue, which usually goes back to cortisol and insulin. So it's one of the first things I will talk with women about of how is your stress level? And that goes in not only just your emotional stress, but your physical stress. You know, sometimes it could be that you're over-exercising and that could be a stressor that is actually influencing how your hormones are functioning. So it looks different for everybody.
Yeah, so true, because you always hear about insulin associated with diabetes, and I feel like you really don't hear much else about that unless you're struggling with diabetes. But like you said, it plays such a role and affects so many other things. So we really got to pay attention to insulin and cortisol, and a lot of us don't know much about that. We hear that cortisol is related to stress. I think that's a hormone that a lot of people know because of stress, but we're not really thinking about specifically us and how our cortisol levels may be too high and what specifically is causing that for us. So, what are some signs that our cortisol levels may be too high?
It's so important to start being mindful of how you're feeling on a regular basis. So, things like if you're waking up and you're still feeling exhausted, if you're not able to sleep through the night and you're waking up in the middle of the night, many times I'll hear patients say, you know, they have this like underlying sore throat that's just kind of in the background that's there, or maybe your eyes feel very strained. You're finding that you're more hangry or like, you know, you're more reactive when maybe something shouldn't have made you that reactive. Those are all kind of signs, the beginning signs that you're overdoing it. You're overdoing something that the cortisol is kind of firing off. You know, sometimes too, I'll see acne kind of flaring up as well. So it's really starting to get in tune with how you're feeling on the day-to-day basis. And energy levels is one of the big ones that I see is impacted when your cortisol is very high. And, you know, then in a severe cases, this can lead to things like severe anxiety, panic attacks. You know, I work with women sometimes who will say like, it came out of nowhere. But the truth is, it didn't actually come out of nowhere. Bodies are always kind of giving us those little signals, letting us know that something we're doing is not necessarily the best thing for us. And sometimes it's just, you know, we live in such a overstimulated society of like, go, 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 that we might not stop and pause and realize that.
Yeah, I think many of us are experiencing the symptoms that you described. I know I'm experiencing a lot of them, and that's a big wake up to me. But a lot of us are making it seem like it's normal to feel this way. We're making that a norm for us when really it's our body telling us that something is clearly wrong. And then instead of addressing it, we're just adding more stimulation that's causing even more stress. And sometimes that looks like in the form of taking in so much social media. So that's affecting our mind and then therefore our body. And then sometimes it comes in the form of taking in too much caffeine because it's normal to go to Starbucks throughout the day. But what we're taking in affects our body. So I love coffee. I know a lot of us love coffee, but I'm curious to know, Deanna, what do you have to say about coffee?
Yeah, and I love coffee too, but I've actually been on my own journey of really decreasing it, baby steps. I definitely do not recommend anyone just stop caffeine cold turkey if you like your coffee. But yeah, I mean, especially when I work with women who express to me that they feel a lot of anxiety, the first things I'll look at is, how much coffee do you drink? And, you know, tea and soda are also other, you know, components that could definitely incorporate the caffeine intake. But, you know, many times it's a coffee, and that is absolutely going to impact your anxiety levels. It affects how your hormones are. It increases your cortisol, that inflammation. And, you know, I just heard the other day, someone I'm working with, she said she just started decreasing it a little bit and changing when she had it first thing in the morning. And she noticed already a shift in like, oh, I didn't feel that like crazy jitteriness that I didn't even realize was there until I like made a shift. So it's sometimes we don't really notice those like pings of maybe this isn't the best idea until we kind of start shifting and realizing like, oh, you know what? I maybe don't need all of that coffee because now I actually start feeling a little bit better.
Yeah, it's all about starting small and just being more intentional about it. It makes me think again of the Band-Aid approach that we often take in our own lives, because a lot of times we want more coffee when we are feeling tired. So we're like, oh, just need to get the coffee. And it's like, really, what you need is some more sleep. You need the thing that's causing you to want that coffee so bad. But just to be clear, I'm not giving up my coffee completely. I'm just going to be more intentional about it and look and see if I have some habits that I may need to change to really just honor my body more. That's all I'm saying. All right, Deanna, tell us about insulin, because I know a lot of us don't know much about that.
So with insulin, simply put, many of us, I hear this a lot of the, one of the first things I'll ask is, tell me what you've eaten over the past 24 hours, which also always gets me a bit of a cringe of like, you had to ask me for now. And, I say no judgment at all. It's just, you know, a good way to get a snapshot. Not only is it a good way to get a snapshot, but I find that sometimes it just brings us awareness of maybe you, the person I'm speaking with, like didn't realize, you know, what they really ate the day before until they start kind of reciting those things. And not only I'm not even just interested in what they ate, but when they ate, what they ate. And if they're skipping, would they skip a meal? Like that plays a big role in your insulin. So, you know, many times I find people skip their breakfast or they go long periods of time without eating. Maybe their work schedule doesn't allow them, whatever the case, but it's this erratic way of eating. And insulin then is not over time eating this way, doesn't allow insulin to work the way it's supposed to. And what starts to happen is when you do eat, and just this is super simplified, but when you eat, you know, you have sugar, you have all the nutrients, your body releases insulin to say, hey, let me get rid of that sugar, bring it into the cells so the organs can work the way that they should. And over time, if you're eating more erratically where you're skipping meals or intermittent fasting, which I kind of have a love-hate relationship. We could talk about that later. But insulin then stops working the way it should. So then your body's like, okay, I'm going to produce even more insulin because the insulin that's there isn't working. So now you have all this excess insulin and all this excess sugar all just kind of floating around. This is common with women who suffer from things like PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. And what ends up happening is insulin resistance. The insulin is not working the way that it should. And so this then also kind of creates a spiral of wreaking havoc on how the rest of your hormones work. It actually is linked to making cortisol higher, creating more inflammation. So they kind of like influence each other, the cortisol and the insulin. And then this impacts how the rest of your hormones work, frequently leading to things like irregular cycles or very painful periods because the inflammatory chemicals have been so high in the body. Many times I'll hear painful periods associated with, you know, whatever else they're going through. So that's like the simplified way. So in order to help your insulin work properly, things like eating regularly. So I recommend like every 3 to 4 hours, kind of intuitively eating. So when you're hungry, listening to that ping and eating. And then it's about eating the things that are going to help stabilize your blood sugar. So things like a fiber and a protein, adding fiber and a protein together is really going to help so that you don't have a sugar spike and a sugar crash versus something like, let's say if you have oatmeal or cereal, which is like a very common breakfast food, a lot of times that's just very carb focused with sugar. And that is going to lead to that sugar spike and crash, which is what we don't want. So, you know, having a little bit more of a hearty whole food filled meal is going to help many times to combat that sugar spike and crash so that you will feel better. It helps with your energy levels. It's the foundation of getting your hormones back into balance.
Okay, so the questions that I just asked myself was, do I eat regularly? And I know by regularly you mean not constantly, but when you actually are intuitively truly hungry, not just bored, but actually hungry, and maybe with some consistency, like at consistent times of the day. I know that I'm going to have to say no to that one, so I want to get that in check. And then also adding the protein and the fiber with your meals. I know that's something I can be more mindful about. And then a lot of us can reduce the bagels. I love me some bagels. And add some more greens. It's fun to think about the things that we can add more of, like the greens, right, Deanna?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of really anything that's grown from the ground, plants, veggies, fruits, whole grains. Those are your best friends. And then, yeah, the bagel, maybe not an everyday thing. Definitely if it's like an everyday thing, that's something I would say, okay, we gotta shift that a bit. But I'm all about like balance and, you know, have the bagel every once in a while if that's what you really want and enjoy that bagel. It's really about listening to the cues your body's giving you. I'm definitely not a fan of, I even hate the word diet. It's just about the food choices you make, you know, because diet is so restrictive a lot of times and how it's viewed in our society. So it's really just about fueling our body and viewing food as your hormonal medicine to really help, you know, with the balance of your hormones and helping you feel better.
Right. I love looking at food as medicine. And I'm curious to know, what are some things that you suggest that we stop doing to improve our health?
So skipping your breakfast, please don't do that. And I say eat within an hour of waking up, even if it's something small. It doesn't have to be a full out meal, but you want to be having fueling your body with something first thing in the morning, because this is going to already help to stabilize your sugar and your insulin level first thing in the morning. So definitely don't skip breakfast. Really try to make all of your fluid intake water. So, and you know, with the exception if you're doing coffee, but things like any kind of juices, if you're doing lots of coffee with the sugary kind of, you know, whipped cream and all that, stop doing that. That's a lot of added sugars. And again, it's those added sugars that is really going to also impact the insulin. So that is something as well. Alcohol, really limiting that. You know, if you're somebody who drinks a good amount of alcohol, even if it's socially, you know, it can sometimes be every single day, depending on where you are, what you're doing. And that may not really be the best thing, especially because a lot of alcohol does have a lot of sugar. And that is also going to play a role in how you're going to feel. So those are some things that I say right away. And I would say my other thing would be, if you sleep with your phone in your room, stop, put it out, put it somewhere else. That is going to impact how you're sleeping. The EMF waves can impact your sleep, your REM cycle of sleep. It's really best not only for those reasons, but you know, it won't get you to, you know, want to grab that phone if you can't sleep in the middle of the night and then you start scrolling, or that you go to it first thing in the morning. That's already kind of setting your brain up and your whole energy vibe, you know, first thing in the morning, to be like plugged in to outside, you know, noise, rather than, you know, listening to what your body needs in that moment. And that's really what this is all about, like listening to your body and the cues and letting that kind of guide things.
So as you said, plugged into the outside, the immediate image that popped in my mind was this battery that was kind of exploding or just more inflamed, if you will. I was just getting my laptop fixed and I asked the guy, I said, what happens when you keep your laptop plugged in all the time? Like, should you be doing that? And he was like, hey, I'll show you what happens. And he showed me this battery, and that was this puffed up kind of exploding kind of battery. And it's such a good visual to think about what happens to us and our bodies and our health when we are plugged in all the time, when we're overstimulated. It's very destructive to us. Not to mention that the time before you fall asleep and when you first wake up in the morning are your peak times to program your mind. So a lot of us are busy programming our minds by being focused on what everybody else is doing or taking in some news or whatever we're reading that we don't really want to program. So that's another reason for maybe putting your phone away. And then not to mention the blue lights and the effect that has on you getting to sleep and being able to have quality sleep, that's a whole different other story. So I think a lot of us need to ask ourselves, like, is it going to serve me to keep my phone beside me? And I know for me, my answer to that is no. So that is a habit that I'm working on breaking. Cool. So we're all learning. All right, Deanna, I want to know, what can we do more of?
So I recommend everyone should really be taking a multivitamin. And, you know, I know multivitamins, it's like they're not all
treated the same at all, because there's a million brands out there and it could feel very overwhelming. So my advice with that is really just when you're looking for a multivitamin, looking for a brand that mentions where the vitamins are actually coming from, like what is the food source that it's coming from, and that it says things like no additives, no fillers, because there could be a lot of extra junk in the multivitamin that you really don't need, and then your body's not really absorbing the vitamins properly and it's kind of a waste. So that's something that is number one, because most of us are not getting all the nutrients that we really need, and so it is an important thing to supplement. Also, I would start checking with your provider and making sure you've gotten a vitamin D level checked at least within the past year, because your vitamin D is actually a hormone, and that also supports how the rest of your hormones are functioning in the body. So many of us are deficient in vitamin D, and that many times is playing a role into the symptoms that women are experiencing around their periods. So that is really key to not only get that level checked, but find out what the number actually is. I always say this to all the women I work with, never just take it for face value if somebody says like, oh, everything is normal. Make sure you request your records, get a copy yourself. Vitamin D optimal levels are between 60 to 80. So you can be told that if your level is above 30, oh yeah, it's normal. But to be at its functional optimal best, you actually want it between 60 to 80. So having that actual number value is going to be very helpful. And then if you need to supplement, you can add that supplement to your regimen. But that would be another thing I would say, start that now. And the last thing I would say is just making sure you're practicing self-care for yourself. And that can look different depending on what you resonate with. So, you know, taking 5 minutes for yourself in the morning to either do something like meditating or some breath work, journaling or reading. This is so important for your mental health. And again, it goes back to that cortisol of like making sure we're taking care of ourselves so that our cortisol is not firing off and we're really stopping to pause and seeing where we can be kinder to ourselves, because that's the key. It's our mental health, and the foods that we're putting in our body is really at the top of how everything else is going to play out.
Okay, so these are the questions that popped into my mind after hearing everything that Deanna just said. First, I thought I need a multivitamin, a good one. I know Deanna has a suggestion for us, and I need to bring in some more self-care activities that just really feel good to me. So maybe that's something that you're thinking about. So I'm going to throw some ideas for you. I like to brand each day, and that really helps my mind really think of what's a priority for that day. So I have on Saturday, I like to brand it as self-care Saturday, or sometimes it needs to be Sunday, depending on what's happening in that self-care Sunday. I do practice some self-care stuff every day, but I like to do this like kind of event, if you will, in the mornings on the weekend. And what that consists of is getting up a little earlier than everybody else and getting my cup of coffee and my cozy blanket. And I will write or journal, and I like to have a facial on. And sometimes I will even do my nails. I like Color Street nails. And I never used to be a nails kind of person. I never really cared about what my nails look like. And I used to kind of get hated on back in the day from my Asian family who worked in the nail industry. But now I feel like I've grown an appreciation for like when I look down and I'm like, oh, those are pretty. And it sparks joy for me. So I'm thinking of more ways to spark joy for myself every day. And I add dancing into my day. And these little things have really made a difference, because they've also helped my mental health. And I know Deanna mentioned that. And I think a lot of us prioritize our physical exercise, but we don't really prioritize our mental health and like what can we do to really help our minds, because that's affecting our hormones and our body. Like taking those time to pause, like that's something I'm really working on, is really getting those moments where I'm just being still, doing a meditation or a prayer or whatever that stillness looks like for you. Like really think about like how can you bring more of that into your life. Okay, Deanna, tell us your recommendation for a multivitamin.
Yeah. So one that I like is Ritual. That's a multivitamin that they do like a subscription. They just send it over every month. You just get it in the mail. So it stays as a true Ritual. And I love it. Actually, it's been the only vitamin I've been able to stick with for now almost 2 years. And prior to that, I was like on nothing because I could never find one that like I could stick with. And a lot of them made me feel nauseous and this one does not. So I really like Ritual. I also recommend Rainbow Light is another vitamin company that I like. Not sponsored at all in any way, and just genuinely have good experience with recommending it to women that I work with, and just reading what those companies kind of are about is what's important, that they're really sourcing it directly from the food sources.
Okay, awesome. I love recommendations from people I trust. So I have my favorite question to ask is, what does it mean to you to live an intentional life?
I think it's about really getting clear on what it is I want my life to look like and seeing how can I get there? What small steps do I need to take each day to make sure I'm really following that vision? And, you know, because we can get so stuck in the routine, you know, the mundane of like, I could just, you know, and I was like this a few years ago of kind of just driving to work and living this life and then sitting on the couch and feeling so exhausted and being like, well, what am I doing with my life? And realizing the power that I had to make that change, it was within me of like, okay, let me write down like, what are the things that I want to do? So now my life has really shifted of, okay, I know that self-care is super important to me. So I'm going to make sure that that is a part of my everyday and I'm never going to let a job impact that for me. And it's just about setting kind of boundaries and some guidelines within myself. And then that kind of sets it up of the people around me to kind of respect that on an energetic level. They just kind of, you know, it like I'm putting that out there. So it just kind of flows that people are not kind of crossing that boundary, but more importantly, that I'm really respecting like what it is that I want for my life and just following the steps to get there. And not letting just kind of the mundane take over. And then I'm miserable and wondering like, oh, well, how did this happen? Well, it starts with yourself, you know? I hope that answered it. That's like a long-winded.
I loved it. I so resonated with everything that you said. It made me think about something I often say, which is if we don't design the lives that we want, someone else will do it for us. And I think we have to be an example of honoring the things that are most important to us, and people will see that that is important to us, and oftentimes they will honor that too, like those things that are important to us, or in a sense we teach others how to treat us. All right, so I'm interrupting the show very intentionally to teach you how to treat me. Just kidding. But for real, I want to say thank you for those who have left reviews. I feel like I don't want to be annoying and keep asking, but seriously, that is how people find the show. And there's a lot of work that goes into it. So if you have an iPhone and you haven't left a review and you've been loving the show, please go do that. All you do is you scroll down to the bottom of the podcast. You'll see stars. Sometimes it can be hard to find. And then right below that, there's a little thing that says write a review. And then you click it and you just type and then you hit submit. And that's it. Side note lesson, you got to ask for what you want or it doesn't happen, right? Anyways, I love you guys. I'm so grateful that you are here. And I just asked Deanna, what is she excited about? And she shared with me that she has a new program coming out where she helps women who have most likely been to the doctors and are struggling with some health issues and they're not really sure what's going on with them and they need to figure out their hormones and all of that. And they want to be walked through that process and held accountable and have the wisdom of Deanna. She's excited about that. So follow her because she's got a lot of wisdom, and then let other people know if you know someone who's like, they can't figure out what's going on with them, like, and you know that she could really help them. So she's going to tell us where we can find her, and then I'm going to tell you what's on the next episode because it's going to be a good one. So keep on listening.
Yeah, so on my Instagram, it's @_theladiesguide. That's where I am most of the time hanging out and interacting with you all. I also have a YouTube channel called The Ladies Guide with a lot of different informational videos. And yeah, those are the two places you can find me.
So guys, not only does Deanna know a lot about your hormones and women's health in general and prenatal care and all of that stuff, she also is an avid traveler and she knows how to travel in a way without breaking the bank. We were just giggling together about how people like tend to think that you need to spend so much money to travel and have a really good experience. And people have asked me a lot about my finances based on like how much my husband and I travel. And it's about being really intentional about our travels, and we are very conscious of the amount of money that we spend, and we always have so much fun. And Deanna and I just like have, we have so much wisdom and strategies that we want to share with everybody so that all of us can get out more and travel more and just see the world. Because I know a lot of you listening love that. Like, you want to have more of those fun experiences and see more cool places. So she'll be back on the show. That'll be fun. Next episode is about how to program your mind to really be who you want to be. This is one of my favorite things to talk about. Remember how I talk about peak times of mind programming? Well, I'm going to give you my top three strategies to reprogram your mind, because a lot of us need to do that to be who we want to be, to achieve the goals that we want to have. So that's what the next episode is about. Excited about that. Now, from this episode, let me tell you some things I have already started implementing in my life. Okay, so I started just paying more attention to like how I'm feeling. I've been noticing that when I don't sleep very much, it really affects my productivity. And I'm getting that in check. I have started eating some food in the morning, some breakfast, and trying to like implement more regular times of eating. I have reduced the amount of coffee that I'm drinking. I have taken my phone away from my sleeping area. I actually put it on airplane mode and make it so it's really far away from me. So when my alarm goes off, I can get up and I actually have to go down the stairs to turn it off. And that also helps me get out of bed. And now I have this rule that I'm not scrolling through it. I'm not looking at it first thing in the morning. I'm not scrolling through it before I go to bed. And also, I've reduced the amount of social media that I'm bringing into my mind. I've added more greens, more water, more self-care activities. This really got me thinking about some changes that I can make to improve my life. I hope it got you thinking about that too. So just get out there and start implementing those things. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you on the next episode.